Session number 8327.
Mr. Barrow, tape four. What was the weather like when you arrived in
Oh, very
August?
hot.
September you arrived, didn't you?
Yes, very
Yes.
hot.
Was it?
Yes, always sunny, dusty, and flies and lice. We used to have a louse parade almost every day, really. And go down the seams of your trousers and shirts. If you had a candle, kill them that way over you. Your hands would be covered with blood, could it? Could it? Killing, couldn't do anything else but killing lice.
Were you all lousy?
I should think so. And sometimes the blankets got lousy and you couldn't do anything about it. We used to get Keating's flea powder or something, but I think they liked that. And oh, you'd wriggle and squirm and some would curse and they'd get scabies, I think it was, and scratch the legs till blood came. But I used to get if I, whenever I could, I had a bathe in the sea. But it was a bit dangerous. I think I was fairly fortunate to not to get drowned, actually. There must have been some funny currents, but I wasn't a particularly good swimmer, but I wasn't so bad. But I thought, by Joe, it's hard work just getting back to this little jetty. After that, I'd throw, if I was bathing, I'd throw some twigging or something, see if there's any nasty currents, really. But I think that's what kept me fit, really. Although I was in this little hospital, you know, with dysentery.
Yes, I'll ask you about that later on. Yes, so how long were you actually there in this first position of yours
In
on
the sensible
Hayes?
one.
Yes.
Well, but I don't think we were there very long. Oh, I don't know, perhaps 2 or 3 weeks, I should think, and then we moved right over to the left
Yes.
to relieve the naval division.
Ah, did you see anything of the Naval
Oh
Division?
yes, when they were coming down,
What do
half
you
soldiers and
think?
half sailors. Some had the sailor's trousers and infantryman's jacket and some nice beards amongst them. They looked a bit dishevelled and oh, a bit war-weary, I should think, as they came down this gully.
Have you any idea what battalions they were, the ones you saw?
Oh, there'd be the hood, I think the drape, the Collingwood. Then after old battles and admirals and that, you know.
So the 42nd Division went up to relieve them, did they?
Yes.
And you were the transport and
Pardon?
field ambulance for the
Yeah.
42nd Division.
Yeah.
So could you tell me then where you were situated in this new position?
Yeah. The transport section was just on two, you could call them ledges almost, on the banks of this little river that came down the gully, just by the foot of Inniskillen Avenue.
So now, where was Inniskillen Avenue?
You saw it on the map, didn't you? It would be about, well, distance is hard to say, but probably half a mile or a little, perhaps a little bit more or less, from the beach.
From Gully Beach, is that?
From the gully beach, and it ran up, and that was the main gully, and down here was Inniskillen Avenue, and you could go up there, which I once did, because there was a French battery operating from the top. I got a bit pally with one or two Frenchmen and swapped some comforter, isn't it, French for jam, for marmalade or whatever it was. And I think one time they said they were going to have a bombardment, beaucoup, you know. So I thought, oh, well, come and have a look at this. Anyway, I think there's only a couple of guns up there. And there were little trenches by the guns, you know. Funk holes, as you call them in the modern war. Anyway, I think they let a few shells off and they really got a real pasting from the other side. I soon cleared up from there. Just those little incidents.
Why was it called Inniskillen Avenue?
It was called after the famous Irish regiment, the Inniskillen in the Inniskillens. I don't know whether the Inniskillens were dismounted cavalry or not. They could have been.
They were part of the 29th Division,
I think,
weren't
so,
they?
Yes. Didn't hear very much of them, but they were there. There were a few Irish. There were the Munsters in the 29th Division. And then, of course, there were the famous LFs, Lancashire Fusiliers, Manchester's. I've forgotten the other ones.
Did you hear stories about the initial landings?
Oh, yeah.
While you were there?
Oh, yes. Well, it was an epic, really. I'll tell you in the notes about the Lancashire Fusiliers made the landing. And it is said they won 7 VCs before breakfast.
Yes, I suppose these things would have been legends already by the time you were there, were they?
Well, we knew it was a wonderful division. I think they left, they were decimated and they left Gallipoli, I think, before I got on, I should think so. Probably the 42nd Division relieved them after the initial assaults.
So could you tell me now about your life at Inniskillen Avenue? Because I believe you stayed there until the evacuation in January.
Yes.
What sort of outfit was there, so far as the field ambulance and field dressing stations?
On Gully Beach, there was a little, you could call it a hospital if you like, actually. It was just a rude waterproof shelter with about perhaps 4 or 5 stretchers down. Those were the beds. Because you weren't in long, if you had dysentery badly, like my friend and I were in it together, Miss Arthur Jones, but he was very, very bad, and he'd been on Gallipoli quite a long time, and he was bad, so they evacuated him. I went back to my unit, having umpteen punctures, injections for dysentery, and I was improving, and they gave me, I think, something like a tin of chicken and a couple of tins of milk or something.
How did the dysentery take you? You know, could you describe how you felt?
Well, of course, you had the perpetual diarrhoea, really. Yes, and of course, when you were very bad, well, you had to sleep at the latrines, perhaps. You'd see men taking the blankets to the latrines. And of course, it's terribly weakening. Because any food. I don't know why it was, unless it was all these flies, but it was very prevalent. And perhaps if the water was chlorinated quite heavily, I should think. But if you. I suppose you could get it through contamination through flies, I should think. Because there are myriads of them. You had to eat a sandwich or a piece of bread like this. But I think I cured myself of dysentery. The rice was very brown. Pretty mucky stuff compared with what Mother had. So I used to, when I came out of this little hospital place, I boiled this rice. You know, cleared it of all this stuff, and I just lived on, you might say, crude rice pudding for perhaps a week. But I cured my dysentery.
And that was just with this curried rice pudding?
Yes, that's all I lived on, as far as I remember. Or hard tap biscuits, you know, the real dog biscuits that were very hard. We'd soften them a bit with water or whatever we had. But I wouldn't touch the stew and oddments from the cookhouse.
I suppose it must have been very degrading in a way, having the dysentery, wasn't it?
Oh, yes.
Was this the worst part of it, do you think? You know, when you were spending so long in the latrine?
You cared a damn so long as you got. to the latrines, which were hordes of flies.
I was wondering, you know, what sort of places the latrines were.
Oh, just deep trenches of about as far as you could get down, 5 or 6 foot, perhaps 4 or 5 foot. And, of course, they just covered it with earth a bit each day and eventually dig new latrines.
So did you have poles across these to sit on?
Aye, and if they were very posh, you had a bit of a canvas round. But, of course, you didn't care two hoots. Oh, no, and you'd get this Gallipoli claw, so weak, you know, and yellow jaundice. It's a terrific amount of sickness.
Were you finding then that at this stage after September that you were dealing far more with cases of dysentery and jaundice than casualties from the sniping?
Practically no casualties because there was no fires. It'd be only sniping and a bit of odd shelling. Well, very little. And we had very little to do, actually. There was only just taking rations and water.
What was the effects of this dysentery and jaundice on the morale of men?
Well, it'd be very lowering, you know. Very lowering, Peter. They were absolutely, you might say, worn out, really.
Did some groups go under more quickly than others, in your opinion? Do you think?
Some seem to stick it. I think it depended on the makeup of the human being, I should think, whether they could, some would be perhaps immune to dysentery, maybe, could be. I was very well, really, apart from this one spasm of it. I was strong and healthy, you know.
What sort of medication was given to cases of dysentery?
Oh, injections I had till my arm swelled up, you know.
Had you any idea what you were injected with?
No, I've no idea. No, they just came down and your arms got sore. I'd have it 2 or 3 times a day, these. I don't think I could get my tunic on properly in the end. My arms swelled up.
And how about jaundice? How did that
well,
how was that treated?
Well, that's a complaint you can get here, isn't it? Something to do with the liver, isn't it? Yellow is jaundice. Your eyes go yellow and your complexion will go yellowish.
Did many people have that?
Oh, I should think so. There's a case where my friend, when they'll tell you in there, a bit amusing in a way. This Arthur Jones, we had our little dugout in the Skilling Avenue. It was a pretty safe place to have it too, really. But it was close up rather against the cliff. Anyway, we removed, it'll tell you there, it's a bit humorous, really. And this Arthur Jones, he'd been on a bit, he was a real scrounger, was Arthur. Anyway, from somewhere or other, he got a wonderful, wonderful waterproof sheet. I think whether he'd pinched it off one of these Indian, there were Indians on, and I think there was some the Zionist mule corps were. So he probably pinched it and borrowed it or won it, call it what you like. And we removed from Inniskilling Avenue down to rather on the flat by the little stream, and we made a nice little comfortable place there, but unfortunately we both got dysentery, you see. Went into dock, I went in for about a week or so, whatever it was. Arthur was evacuated home, so he didn't live in this nice little place. But what I was coming to was a nice fellow said, could I come and share your dugout, chap named Rawlings. And he looked bad, and he'd got jaundice. And he came for a few days, but in the end he went off too. He'd go off and never heard or saw him anymore. He'd, He'd be evacuated to Alexandria somewhere.
How bad did you have to be with the dysentery or jaundice before you were taken to this little hospital at Gully Beach?
Well, you'd report sick. They'd have a sick parade and you'd report and they'd have a chat with you and all the rest of it, and they could tell how bad you were, I suppose. I don't know how it affected you except colour and the times you went to the loo, all that sort of thing. And you lost weight, you know. Your ribs started showing. And they'd have you in there for a week, and you'd perhaps live just on milk and water, perhaps for a week.
Was the medical care good in that hospital?
No, it was very crude. There wasn't any medical, really, except injections and living on milk and water for a week.
And how did you all sleep in the hospital?
Just on these stretchers, just on near the floor, just on stretchers.
Were you fairly close together?
Oh, yeah. There'd only be this much room between each stretcher, because it was only, I expect, the hospital. It'd be about twice the size of this room, I should think. Only a very little place.
So what would that be? That would be about
30 feet, perhaps. This is 16 foot.
Yes, 30 foot, yes.
Yeah, something like that. And about a stretch is usually about 6 foot. That's the base of it. They'd be about 8 foot, be about perhaps 30 feet. I'm just taking about 4 or 5 stretches. And we'd report there sometimes with an ambulance to take these oddments down to the beach, to the they'd have a clearing station there. I don't know where. We never had much to do with the big hospital. It was in the centre of Gallipoli.
Was it?
And that would be immune. That was quite a place. But that would be immune from any shellfire, because it was well placarded up, Red Cross, you know. But we didn't see much activity there when we passed it going to the on transport duties, going down to Cape Ellis. That was on what we call the top road. From the gully, you could either go the beach road right along here, or go up a slope and that, and get under the top road, which we did sometime, but it was very dangerous. On one occasion, we really got chased with shellfire. They really pasted us. So we didn't often go that way.
So apart from the this hospital on Gully Beach, mm-hmm. were there any other field dressing stations in the area where you were?
Yes. There was one right at the top of the gully, getting on, as I say, which led up more or less to Clithia, up there, and we used to go and perhaps wait there with an ambulance to see if anybody, any casualties or sick, unless they were walking cases, they'd have to be taken by ambulance down either to this little hospital, but I think we'd take them right to the beach, I should think. There'd be some little gathering place there.
And what would this field dressing station, what would that have consisted of?
In the advanced dressing station, well, perhaps a chap who was wounded in the trenches, the stretcher bearers. The stretcher bearers would take him to this, they'd probably dress his wounds. If the blood, that, they'd put a field dressing on, or a shell dressing if it wanted the bigger one, just a temporary one, if it put a tourniquet on, or a splint on a splint if they had them, to get the man on a stretcher, very roughly dressed, I should think, so long as he got into this advanced dressing station. And they'd do all the surgical, the first aid stuff, you know. Like put a splint on, put a tourniquet on, and, you know, date it, time it, or stitch it, or And I think they probably, if they couldn't get them there, they'd give them a dose of morphine or something like that. And we didn't have many casualties like that in our time, you know. The fighting was practically over. They were all jiggered, I should think.
So the medical care would have been in three stages. Am I right in thinking that?
Yes, a bit in the trenches where they were wounded, but just roughly first aid. Then to the advanced dressing station. And then, I don't think we ever took them to this very small little place on the beach. I should think, if there were any, and there were very, very few, we'd take them probably right down to the to where they'd land on the on this hospital boat that was lying outside somewhere. But with very, very few casualties.
Did you find any problems with driving your ambulances, though? You know, even with the casualties you had and the sick people with dysentery, you know, was it rather difficult, bearing in mind the terrain?
It wasn't so much the terrain, but, you know, the, this valley was up to the dressing station, to the advanced dressing station. From where we were at Inniskillen Avenue, was very rough. Very rough, and we'd go up with a four-horse, with a four-horse team and an ambulance. But then, and it was very rough, I was a wheel driver and the pole had been knocking up and down. And the big storm in November absolutely washed it out. And it was just a rocky surface that... We did go up and down, but it was an awful job with a six-horse team. And that was the last time we went up. So we never went up again after November. I think what few casualties there were had happened stretcher-borne.
Did you actually bear stretchers yourself?
No, we never touched, never had any occasion to.
What were the stretchers like on Gallipoli?
Oh, they were just... two poles, canvased, little legs to put on the ground to keep the canvas dry, that's all they were. And they'd have rough pillows, you know, to put a wounded man on. And you could either have four carriers, one at each end of the poles, two, but it was... They're pretty heavy to carry over rough ground, you know, it would be usually four people.
You were earlier on going to describe an ambulance to me. Yeah. What your ambulances were like?
Very rough, really. It's just a covered wagon with struts over, you know, and a canvas waterproof, and probably perhaps an odd seat or two, and stretchers which could be secured to the floor of the ambulance. Very crude, they'd only take perhaps two stretchers and perhaps one or two sitting cases. But we had so few of them that I don't think we ever had hardly any stretcher cases, only once. And they got a hell of a time coming down this gully. You know, you'd have to tie them on the stretcher and tie the stretcher onto the floor, and they would have a hell of a time.
Can you remember the forms of communication? For instance, how did you know whether you were wanted at any particular...
I knew. They made perhaps a messenger, I suppose, in those days. I don't know that there'd be any... I don't know whether there was any telephone wires. I don't think we ever saw them, except on the tops we used to see them. On poles, you know, sagging away there. They could run wires down, you know, of course. The signal, RE signals. I don't know what communication would be, I'm sure, unless it was by foot. I don't know how it'd be, because it wasn't very far up this valley.
You were saying you did have other transport duties apart from the sick and the few casualties. You helped with stores, did you?
Oh, yes.
Yes. So, yes. So what was that work? What did that consist of? Would you go down to the gully beach?
Down to the beach, down to Cape Ellis that way, to the stores there with the quartermaster.
Were these well protected, these stores? Were they well organised?
No. Probably they weren't there long enough, I don't think, really. There was a bakery down there, you know, a field of them. Yeah, have you seen them? There was years ago that they discovered one in Sea View, but I have seen them in other farmhouses. They're a shaped tunnel affair, which they heat with wood, set the wood on fire inside, and then when it gets to a certain degree of heat, they rake the embers out and that sort of thing, put the stuff in they want to cook, either bread or meat or stews, and seal the exit then, and they get clever on timing it. But the bread would be sometimes a bit doughy, and we didn't perhaps, but so we didn't get it too often. But we'd entitled to a pound of bread a day, or about perhaps four of these hard biscuits. People seem to grumble at hard biscuits, but I rather like them really. They're oatmeal-y, you know, and you could soften them. People had grind them up a bit and perhaps fry them if they had a bit of fat. Well, it was hard living through these damn flies and it wasn't very hard work, anything like that. You had a lot of time off. Well, the troops mostly just covered themselves with a blanket and had a snooze to get away from these flies.